Welcome to the talk show dedicated to the wine industry. It's All About Wine. With your host, winemaker, cellar master, vineyardist, and tasting expert, Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida State's Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Call our guest line at any time during the live show at area code 646-727-3235.
Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is educate people and make wine less confusing and more friendly.
Broadcasting on blogtalkradio.com and worldwide, including the Armed Forces Radio Network.
How this show has grown from, maybe a couple hundred to over 40,000 people. And that's fantastic.
From coast to coast.
Spacer, Kansas.
Deming, New Mexico.
Ithaca, New York.
Knoxville.
Lancaster County, Pennsylvania.
Lexington, Kentucky.
Montana.
Moscow, Idaho.
New Hampshire.
New Mexico.
Santa Rosa.
Sevierville, Tennessee.
South Dakota.
The coast of Maine.
The Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
Westport, Mass.
We really have had some neat people on the program. I love that. Alba Vineyards.
Blog.penlive.
Boys Lip Winery.
Brotherhood.
Camas Prairie Winery.
Candia Vineyards.
Hello, the Borgeses.
Eagle Springs Winery.
Lafayette Lake Winery.
Free the Grapes.
Grapesandwine.cal.cornell.edu.
Heritage Vineyards and Winery.
Hershey Harrisburg Wine Country.
Holyfield Vineyard and Winery.
Tommy Bird Ridge Winery.
Joy Soy of Wine.
Prairie Berry.
Rainborn Wines.
Rocky Top Wine Trail.
Sheila Lauer Vineyards and Winery.
Southwest Wine.
Haber Hill.
Ten Spoon.
University of Kentucky Extension.
Vineyard at Hershey.
Vivac Winery.
Walt Vineyard.
Westport Rivers.
Wine Flower.
And around the world.
TheDriftingWinemaker.com. I just arrived in Bali about 3 days ago.
All About Wine is on.
If you have any questions or anything to talk about, we will be more than happy to talk to you about or search it for you or try to find information for you out there, because there is a lot of information out there about wine.
We do occasionally get off topic.
Delvoir Winery.
The most well-known haunted winery in the Midwest.
I've heard voices at the winery.
Call area code 646-727-3235 and let's talk about wine on air. And now, wine enthusiasts and industry representatives, All About Wine is on. Here is your host, Ron.
Enjoying this warm weather we are having here. So,
yeah.
I went to work at 4:30 this morning. It was 38 degrees, I think. Very nice. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Northern people, for that. Really appreciate that.
Thanks for sending it down to it. Yeah.
That's right. And another bout tomorrow morning, apparently. It's going to be down in the low 30s again. So, yeah, wonderful. This
and
is great.
Some more coming next week, too, I think they're saying. So.
Yeah, towards the middle of the week.
Boy, done with it. I am done with it.
But summer comes along, it gets up to 100, and we're thinking, okay, we're done with summer. When are we getting the cold weather? It's a never satisfied thing. It's like,
no, we can't. No matter what we do, can't be satisfied.
But we have more summer clothes than we do have winter clothes here, so that's cool. What are we talking about? Oh, that's right, wine. Yeah, welcome to All About the Weather here in Florida. There you go.
All About Wine.
That's right. If you'd like to get on the program, call us, 646-727-3235, and we'd love to talk to you about wine. Please make sure that you want to talk about wine and not make some kind of statement. So there you go.
There you go.
last week. Yeah. Okay. And I'll go get our guest.
Our disclaimer there. Call 646-727-3235. That's a New Jersey number, as a matter of fact. Give us a call on that, and if you want to talk to our guests or anything. Quickly, while Mike is out getting the guest, a couple of weeks ago, it's been more than that now, it's been like 3-4 weeks ago, back on 12/19, we talked to Sonia Jaguli from Australia. She was from the Granite Valley in northeastern Australia. I'm a Facebook follower of hers, and she posted something that I wanted to share with you here. She had some pictures she posted on Symphony Hill Wines photo. This was a week ago, I think, or a few days ago. And her comment was, "Hail, freaking hail. We held our breaths as it came down and prayed hard. We were blessed as the nets seemed to protect us from damage." And she also sent a picture, and it shows these nets over the vineyard. And the nets are actually holding hailstones. There's a bunch of hailstones caught in these nets. And people got on there, and they said, "Oh, good for you, and lucky for the netting." And wow, I got on and wrote her a note. "Did you know the hail was coming and you put up the nets, or do you have the nets up all the time?" She responded, "Most hail netting is a permanent structure. We have a hail net manufacturer in town who supplies to apple and stone fruit orchards and vineyards. Storms are usually very fast and unpredictable, so it would be easy to put the would not be easy to put the netting up each time we think it's going to hail. Most vineyards on the Granite Belt do not have netting, and some vineyards suffer total losses from time to time. Netting can be a great expense." So, wow, you know, we never talked about that. We never mentioned that. I guess it's something that you don't think. Have you netted your vineyard for hailstones? And just something I thought was rather interesting when she posted that to me, and I wanted to share that with you. Hail netting, because they get that so much in northeast Australia. So, Mike is out there finding our guest tonight. Our guest tonight is Fred Osterberg from Pedronellis Cellars. I hope I pronounced that right. When I talked to him, he told me that there was a Texas pronunciation of it, which, you know, emphasizes the D-E-R, but we'll have him explain to us how that works. But he's out there trying to get him on, so we'll have him on with us in a minute here. While we're doing that, I am going to obviously kill a little bit of time here while he's trying to get him on. I'm going to pull up the website for Pedronellis Winery, and we can follow along with that. Catch Wine is the site that I usually use, but Catch Wine really isn't up to date. As we found out last week, that there are over 348 wineries in Texas, and Catch Wine only lists like 180 of them. So obviously it's not up to date, but still, it's a good site, and if you want to follow along with it, it's a good way that I check out my wineries and stuff like that. I go to Catch Wine and get in touch with the wineries I talk to, usually through that. So let's go see if we have our guest on yet. Nope, not yet. Oh, yes, I think Fred is sitting there waiting for us in our green room, and we'll bring him on. Hello, Fred. Thanks for joining us on All About Wine tonight.
Thank you, Ron. Happy to be here.
I talked to Bill about 5:30 our time, about 4:30 your time. He gave me a call, and I called the winery and thought that he was going to be a guest, and I found you and all, you know, but he called and he said that you're the owner of the place and that you would be a great guest, so we are looking forward to that.
Thank you. Yeah, we're excited to be here, so that's right.
Pronounced Pedronellis?
Yeah, that's an interesting point. Some people here locally in Fredericksburg, Central Texas, they say Pedronellis, and we had a president, LBJ, his ranch is just down the road, and he liked to pronounce it Pedronellis. And so I like it the LBJ way. It sounds kind of oofy and official and kind of certain amount of gravitas. It's a Pedronellis is the way I like to pronounce it. So, anyway you like it is fine.
Well, we'll stay with Pedronellis. Okay.
That sounds great. You got it. Yeah.
So give me the history of Bardinelli's. How did it form? When did it start? How long you been open? All that stuff? Give me a little background.
Absolutely. So it really started with Mr. and Mrs. Colkin, my parents-in-law, and many years ago they planted one of the first vineyards in the Texas Hill Country. It wasn't the very first vineyard, but they were sort of pioneers. They were some of the early planters here in this area. And for the longest time, they were growing grapes, and they never made wine. They were just selling grapes to some of the usual suspects here in the area. No names mentioned. And then their son, David Colkin, and my brother-in-law, he went out to UC Davis and trained as a winemaker. And I was in Europe at the time. I was in Paris. Met Julie, and we moved over to Texas. And then we all got together in a room and say, "Hey, we're going to start making wine right here." And so Julie, David, and I we took over the vineyard, expanded it, replanted, and then we found a good property, built the winery, and started making wine. And so, yeah, you know, it's both a sort of family legacy, family tradition, but it's also very entrepreneurial, you know, starting from scratch. There wasn't a winery there that we inherited. It was something that we built here in the last 2 years. And so, it's very exciting. It's been an amazing journey. Our first vintage was 2006, and by 2008 we had enough wine to open our tasting room. We opened the doors very quietly. First day we had one customer. Second day we had two customers, and then it's moved on from there. So it's been an amazing journey to be part of.
And I know that's how it works. You open your doors and you're going, "Oh no, what did we get ourselves into?" But then it picks up and it's great. Yeah.
That's right.
I know. Your website is, I'm looking at this while you're talking, and your opening page here is scrolling some pictures. A hill country.
Right.
Explain to me hill country. Is it like rolling hills, or is it big, almost mountains, or is it like the foothills of southern Missouri and northern Arkansas? What is hill country consist of? How do they define that?
Yeah, I would say very, you know, gently rolling hills. A lot of Texas is very flat, and so this area in central Texas is more hilly, and so we refer to it as the hill country, and it's one of the most scenic areas in Texas. It's just beautiful. So if you haven't been, I would highly, highly recommend a visit. It's just, a wine enthusiast just did a big feature on the top 10 wine destinations in the world. And the Hill Country was named as one of those top destinations.
Wow.
And absolutely. It's an amazing place to visit if you have a chance.
Yeah, well, I've driven through the Hill Country in my life couple dozen times on trips from the east to the west, and it's beautiful country there. It's a great relief getting out of the flat nothings of New Mexico and coming into that, and
right.
So it's really, yeah, I remember driving through that quite a few times. But the you think hills and people think something much larger, but in comparison to the rest of Texas, it's hills. So
exactly, it's really in relative to the surrounding areas.
So you open up the winery. What grapes were being grown? What is the number of grapes? How many acres do you have, and what are you growing there for Pedronellis?
So the estate vineyard is 17 acres. So it's reasonable size, not too big, not too small. And about half of it is planted with Tempranillo. And some people are familiar with Tempranillo, some are not. What I always say is if you ever had a wine from Rioja in Spain, those are blends, right? And Tempranillos are typically the backbone in those blends. Tempranillo is to Rioja what the Cab is to a Bordeaux blend. It's kind of the primary grape there. And as it turns out, You look at temperature curves, rainfall, soil types. It's a very close match to some growing areas in Spain. And so when we took over the vineyard, we weren't the very first to grow Tempranillo in Texas. There were one or two others already doing it, but it was essentially, we took a big bet and said it has to make sense. This grape has to work given all these the soil types and rainfall and temperature and whatnot. And there was no data to support it. There was no track record for Tempranillo in this area. And we just went out and we planted half the vineyard with Tempranillo. And it was a bet. And I have to say, looking back now, 10 years later, it's really paid off. Tempranillo has emerged as the big Texas red grape.
Wow!
When I'm out doing seminars and wine dinners and meeting people, I tell them every wine region has a flagship grape. Right? California has Cab, Oregon has Pinot, Argentina has Malbec. You get the picture, right? And
for
Texas,
right.
Tempranillo is becoming the big flagship grape, and so it's turned out very, very nicely for us. And it's a sign, I think, of the wine industry maturing in Texas. 20 years ago, people were growing Pinot and Chardonnay and so on. And you can grow that here, but the climate isn't a very good fit for it. So it's never going to be world class. You know what I mean? The right kinds of grapes, the hot weather varietals, you can make amazing things, and you can potentially make world-class wines. So, but it's been a journey trying to figure out what works, what doesn't, which grapes do well, and then which don't.
Well, you said that Tempranillo is the Texas signature grape, if you will. Texas
absolutely.
Is enormous.
Yes, yes. This is a fair point. There are two main growing regions in Texas. One is the Hill Country where we are, and the other big area is up further north in Texas, and we refer to that area as the High Plains, the Texas High Plains, and it's outside Lubbock, so up further north, a couple of hours here. So, and it's a little bit colder up there. For the most part, you see the same varietals working very well in both places. You get slightly different results from growing them, and so it's like California. You can have a Carneros cab, you can have a Napa cab, you can have a Sonoma cab, and here we have Hill Country Tempranillos, we have High Plains Tempranillos, and so on. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So you are, mm-hmm. and it's turning out. That is it mostly made into a varietal, or is it used for blending, or everything?
Tempranillo, we do both. We do several varietals, for several varietal wines, Tempranillo based, and we also use it for blending purposes. But it's a great grape for Texas. It's a perfect match for us. Yeah.
Well, that's fantastic. One half of the 17 in Tempranillo. What is the rest of it planted in?
So we planted a couple of the port varietals, Torreja Franca, Tinta Cao, Torreja Nacional, and then we do have a lot of Grenache, a lot of Mourvedre, and a little bit of Spanish white varietal called Albariño, which is the only white grape that we have in our estate vineyard. And,
That's the only one?
That's the only one. That's the only one. And again, these grapes are hot weather varietals. They like the sun, the soil, the heat, and just they thrive in Texas. Yeah.
Oh, well, that's interesting that you would do the one white and one that people really don't know. I mean, honestly, it's not one of those grapes where people walk in and say, do you have? And you're going to say, well, of course, here it is.
It was planted more as an experiment, but an experiment that has turned out very nicely for us.
So Okay, you've got these grapes. What your wines? I'm looking at your wines. You have quite a variety of wines here. Are everything from your plantings only, or do you get it from other areas? What is your source?
It's about 50-50 in our production. So 50% from our state vineyard, 50% that we get from friends in the industry that we work with for a long time. And so we share the same philosophy with regards to quality and yields and varietals and sort of viticultural practices. And it's working out very nicely for us. One of the issues in Texas, I joke, I say in California every harvest is a perfect year, right? You get very little variation year to year. In Texas,
right,
the variability is significantly greater. We have years where there's no harvest because everything is wiped out by hailstorm, just like happened in Burgundy this past year, right? We have years when a late freeze will just hammer the vineyards and you get very little crop. And then you have years where all the ducks line up and everything turns out just perfect. It's much more hit and miss in Texas. And so by having some vineyards in the hill country and some in the high plains, we're able to diversify a little bit and get a good harvest in most years.
And that really, I mean, it's with the weather that goes through Texas, you have to diversify. I mean, it would be foolhardy to try to put everything in one spot, all eggs in one basket, as the saying goes. That would be almost foolhardy.
Absolutely.
While we're talking about the weather and the effects of the weather, what are the temperatures, the highs and the lows in the winter and the highs and lows in summer in the hill country?
Well, I'm looking outside my window right now, and I think we're in the high 20s currently, and we're going to have some sleet and freezing rain here overnight. Then we have beautiful days in January on Sunday. It's supposed to be 75 and sunny and beautiful. So it's really an amazing variability. Summers can be very, very hot in central Texas. We had, I don't know how many weeks, with every day above 100 degrees day after day. And so you'll find most vineyards will use irrigation in Texas. It's a necessity to give the vines that extra water, keep them alive during the summer.
Drip irrigation is most common?
Yes, I would say so, drip irrigation, yeah.
Yeah. Weather that goes through, do you, we're in Florida. We get your weather like 3 days later after it works its way across the Gulf, and
that's
we
right,
get your weather.
Right.
But
absolutely,
when it hits us, it's built up in the water. Your weather, is it, storms go through, are they like real heavy downpours and the hail and everything else, or is it subdued?
Yeah, we do get those. Last year is a good example. We had a really serious hailstorm go through in the spring, and it wiped out a number of vineyards.
Wow.
We were very fortunate. Our vineyard dodged the hailstorm just by a few miles, and so we escaped, and so we were able to get a good harvest out of it. But it was hard to celebrate because we had so many friends in the industry who were hit very badly, and so it wasn't the time to really celebrate for us. But we did get a wonderful harvest last year.
Wow, I know, because I, in that part of the country, some of the storms that go through there are just devastating. I understand. Yeah. So that's
absolutely,
that's that. Your wines. Let's talk about what wines you all have here. Obviously the Tempranillo you're very proud of, and that's something that you seem to label as the signature wine of your area here. What style do you make that in? Is it a dry? Is it a semi-dry? Do you make everything? Tell me about that.
So yeah, it's a dry one. We don't make any sweet wines really, except for one or two dessert wines. But it's a dry wine. We do, we harvest in our state vineyard, we hand harvest and then bring the grapes in for into the cellar for crushing, stemming, and then we have a basket press where we use, it's perfect for small batch, high quality red wine, and then we put it, the Tempranillo will go mainly in American oak barrels, occasionally a little bit of French oak in there as well, but mostly American oak. And then it will spend 12 months, 18 months, sometimes more, depending on the vintage and the harvest, in barrel, and then after that it's bottled, and then a few months later released to the public. And we do our fermentation. We use a program of open top, small bin fermentation for the most part. So we get a lot of control of each little batch. We can go around and check how each bin is fermenting and how it's coming along, and the temperature and whatnot. So we find it easier to do it that way than just use these huge steel tanks. It's more labor intensive, but we get the quality that we feel that we want out of that program.
I was just going to say that the labor intensiveness of that is, you know, you're putting in a lot of work on that, doing it in small batches.
Yeah. Absolutely. No, there's no question. It's more labor intensive, but it does pay off in terms of quality.
You mentioned American oak. Where are you sourcing your oak?
We use several different cooperages and several in California, and some of the oak is coming out of Missouri, I believe. It's for the most part we use medium toasts with toasted heads, so MT plus, medium toast plus, for the wine geeks out there. But yeah, that's what we use for the most part.
Just a light toast, and that's good. That sounds like a great wine. That Tempranillo sounds like you're doing a great job on that. And I noticed you've won quite a few competitions with that too. So that's
it's doing really well for us, and especially out of restaurants meeting farms, and they already have 20 cabs on their wine list. But a good Texas Tempranillo, it's more unique. It's more special. It's something they can add to the wine list that they don't already have, and it's working very nicely for us. The Tempranillo program, there's no question.
Do you keep
your? And the grape is becoming, it's becoming more known in the public. When we first started, you know, people temp what is this? And then now it's gaining more and more acceptance. It has traction in the marketplace, and so that's tremendously helpful to them.
Well, it's been around, for long time. It's just that people have
Absolutely.
Never realized it. People have never really, had it thrown at them. And, like you said earlier, it's just, Cabernet, Merlot, Pinot Noir, Zinfandel, and these are people known. These are what people ask for. But the Tempranillo
Absolutely.
Is not one of those that are mainstream, if you will, since it's a Spanish wine and people really never, never pursued it, never really thought about it. And it's good that
right.
you're getting it out there and getting people to understand it and know it. That's it's a wonderful grape. I love a good Tempranillo wine myself. I understand that.
Yeah. Absolutely. Now, most Spanish wines you buy in the store, they're blends, and they're not labeled Tempranillo. Whereas, in fact, a lot of them have Tempranillo in them. It's just not on the label. So it's a process to educate the consumer, saying that you've been drinking this wine for 10 years. You just didn't know that it was a Tempranillo in it. But here it is.
Yeah, and that's what happens a lot, too. Your Tempranillo from the high plains and from the hill country, are you keeping them separate? Is there enough difference to actually separate them?
Yeah, we like to keep them separate. And in fact, in our estate vineyard, we do several different bottlings from different blocks in the vineyard, and each block is a little bit different, soil type is a little bit different, it gets slightly different, some exposure, and so you'll get subtle differences in the wines, it's amazing what small differences in the soil, how that can translate into and noticeable differences in the wine that is in the glass at the end of the day.
And
keeping it separate, it's really neat. You can try them side by side, and see how it try to pick out. Okay, this is the High Plains wine, the Hill Country one. This is it's a neat way of tasting wine, I think.
And people too say, well, I can't tell the difference, but it's amazing because you can. I mean, you don't have to have the sophisticated palate to be able to tell the difference. It's there, and anyone can pick it up if they just look for it a little bit.
Absolutely. But I'm out doing wine dinners sometimes, and I will feature, let's say, two different Tempranillos, and I tell them, okay, it's the same grape, same vintage, same winemaker, same vineyard, right, same winery, and two different blocks, and they're amazed. They're amazed.
That much of a difference, wow.
Side by side, right? And it's, you can really see teachable moment, I think you call it. They understand that difference.
Educational moment. Of your reds and blends, I noticed the Family Reserve. Is that mostly Tempranillo on that?
Yeah, it varies from year to year what it is. So that's a wine that is not in white distribution, and as you know, if you're in distribution, there's, in particular if you're in grocery stores, there's always this pressure to have a consistent product year after year. You want to have the same profile, same taste, right? So it's this sort of seamless shift from vintage to vintage. This is a wine, it's not in distribution, it's only available at this date, and so we can take a lot of liberties with it, and so we use that wine to showcase what was the best in this particular vintage. It's an eclectic blend. If this batch is the best, then we'll use that and we'll blend it with this. And it's purely for taste. It's not blended because traditionally these varietals are blended together. It's purely meant to showcase what was sort of cream of the crop in a particular vintage. We do a few hundred cases, and it sells out every year. And it's funny when we first started, when we opened our tasting room, we opened our doors, and I had I'm not going to tell you his name, but a prominent figure in the wine world walked up to me and he said, "Frederick, you've been smoking dope. No one is going to pay $50 for a bottle of wine from Texas. It's not going to happen." Right? And so, and some years it sells out fast, and so I like every time I see him, I like to remind him of that.
Of course.
But I think the wider lesson is if you have a quality product, consumers are prepared to pay for it. If your wine is really good, they won't hesitate to pay a reasonable price for it.
And that's funny because I was just talking to a couple just a few days ago at the winery, at my winery, and somebody said, "Well, you know, why should I go out and spend $50 for a bottle of wine when I can get, you know, five of them at 10? And I said, "Well, you can also go to McDonald's and get yourself 10 hamburgers for 75 cents each, or you can go to, you know, TGI Fridays or Chili's and get yourself a hamburger." And there is a difference. I mean, it's not, you know, the quality is there and you can tell the difference. So,
absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, and it's both what you have in the glass, you can actually taste. Okay, this is a very, very nice wine. But it's also, you know the vintner, you've seen the vineyard, you know that they treat the grapes in a nice way, and they don't pound it with pesticides, and you have confidence in the process and the integrity of the winemaking, and it's a product that you know and you trust, and that's worth something as well.
Yeah, it is. You're absolutely right. Your Coupon Vineyards Reserve wine, is this another small batch, or is this something that...
Coupon Vineyards, that's our estate vineyard, and this is a reserve version of the vineyard blend drawn from several different blocks in the vineyard, and we do that every year. Again, it's meant to showcase what was best from the estate vineyard in a particular vintage. And in that case, almost every year, you'll find Tempranillo in that blend, naturally, since it's a big part of the vineyard.
All right. And the Merlot and the little cab that you add to it, is that from the hill country or is that from the plains?
It's from our estate vineyard. It's from one of the original vineyard blocks that was planted with some Merlot and a little bit of cab. Merlot is it's not your typical hot weather varietal grape. It turns out we have a few acres of it, and it's working very well for us. You get a slightly different expression of the grape in Texas than you would in, say, Sonoma or Pauillac, but it's a very nice grape to work with. It's a sort of a workhorse grape. It does really well for us. Yeah.
Well, I'm sure the heat does change a little bit of the tones that you get from it.
Absolutely.
You know, it's just, Sonoma, Napa, and all that. I mean, you're not going to be setting at 100-plus degrees for a week or 2 weeks or anything. So that has to affect your end result.
Right. Absolutely. No question.
GSM.
Right. Yeah. So classic Southern Rhone-style blend, Grenache, Syrah, Mourvedre, GSM. It's drawn largely from the estate vineyard. We get the Syrah from a grape growing friend, so that's not a state. Each year, each vintage, the proportions in the blend will vary according to how the grapes turned out and what blend makes sense. It's a wonderful wine. The sommelier community has really taken to it, and so. It's a wine you see on a number of wine lists in Texas.
Oh, really? Yeah.
We like that one. Very nice wine.
I noticed on a lot of your bottles you're not vintaged. Do you vintage anything?
Yes. We typically we don't do any non-vintage wine, I believe. So it all. It's a vintage designated.
Oh, okay. And then the other red here, the Block 1, is that exclusively for your club?
So, it mostly goes to the wine club. It's also leased. We sell it at the estate. As the name would suggest, it draws from Block 1 in the estate vineyard. And it's a field blend with some Tempranillo in there, a little bit Grenache, and a small amount of Mourvedre. So, and it's a wonderful, wonderful wine. If you have a chance to come by and try it, I would love for you to taste it. It's a wonderful expression. If you select only one wine from the Texas Hill Country to taste, I would suggest, okay, try this wine.
Wow, that's quite.
You'll get an idea of what can do here in the Hill Country.
That's quite a statement for that wine there. The whites, the Voynier and Voynier Reserve, obviously, again, the varietals that you're getting, that the drier climate style wines, the Voynier is a... growing there in the Hill Country, or is it also in the High Plains?
We get our Viognier from the High Plains. The nights are a little bit cooler up there, and so we get just that little extra acidity. Just as I said, Tempranillo is becoming the big Texas red grape. The Viognier is becoming one of the most successful Texas white grapes. Again, it's a process educating the consumer. You have to teach them how to pronounce the name, right? I have people ask for Viagner, and I said no, that's the Viognier. But again, it's a grape that is a perfect match for the Texas climate. It just loves the conditions here, the sun and the soils and the heat. It's perfect. It's perfect, perfect. I'm so glad we're growing it. And there's a big wine competition every year in Lyon in France, and somebody encouraged us that we should submit our Viognier, and I had doubts about it, because sometimes the French, when they think about American wines, they can be really dismissive, as we know, and then there are stereotypes about Texas on top of that, so it's
a little whammy.
But they assured me, no, it's a totally blind tasting, and so we actually submitted, and then a few weeks later, we got this phone call. Oh, Mr. Altamar, the grand gold is yours. And so it went on to win the grand gold medal in Lyon, and it was just amazing. Right? It was one winery from the U.S.
And that was that. No.
Our U.S. to get a grand gold medal, and that was a small producer from Texas, and it's this really cool story. I love telling
that
story.
Is.
We had a minor Twitter storm as a result, but yeah, that was a wonderful, wonderful event for us. It gave us a lot of exposure, and a lot of people have been seeking us out and at the estate, coming and visiting us and talking about that. And unfortunately, it sold out very quickly as a result. But I want to mention that there were actually several other Texas wineries that also submitted wines and did very well. And so I think it's obviously great for us as a producer, but it also highlights something about Texas, that we can make wine in Texas that can really compete on the world stage. That's good for the entire Texas wine industry. And I have many... many friends in the industry here that are very excited about that.
Yeah, in Texas, I'm finding out we've been talking in Texas for last 3 or 4 weeks here. We've had 3 or 4 different wineries on. I'm amazed at what Texas is doing with wine. It just amazes me. I guess that's the only word I can use that really describes it. They're really doing a phenomenal job on making wines and different varietals and all that. It's amazing.
And let me tell you, it's a very exciting time to be part of the Texas wine industry. There's a lot of experimentation going on. People are trying new things, seeing what works, seeing what doesn't. There's some bad wine being made. There's some great wine being made. Somebody said it's like California in the early 70s, right? It's very dynamic, very entrepreneurial, very experimental, and it's just amazing to be part of that process. So we're the sort of the avant-garde in winemaking in the U.S. right now. I would argue part of it is happening in Texas.
Yeah, I lived in California during the early and mid 70s and into the latter part of the 70s, and I experienced some of that out there firsthand.
Mm-hmm.
And it's exciting, and I'm seeing that. I'm picking that up from all of you in Texas, as I talk to you, you have that type of excitement in your voice and in that pride in your product. It's fantastic.
Yeah. No, it's so. I mean, it's amazing. And you have people. They 10 years ago they had a bad Texas wine, and they have all Texas wines bad. And then and they try it. You get them. Well, try this. Try to taste it, right? And then they try it, and you see it in their eyes. But wow, this is actually good, right? And we had right next to our estate, there's a little hotel, wonderful hotel, Rose Hill Manor, to stay at. And we had a lady from California, and she came over and said, I want to try some of this Texas wine. And she walks back with a case, and she's joined our wine club, and she's a convert. I mean, she realized, we can make great wine in Texas. When you first read about winemaking in Texas, you think about cowboys and this and that and that. But there is quality wine. If you know where to look, there is amazing quality in Texas.
Yeah, and I'm finding that out more and more. I have to bring up your port, your Texas Ruby.
We're not allowed to call it a port.
We're not allowed to call it port. I know. I brought that up on the program in the past.
Yes.
But yeah. Yes. But the style of port on that made with Tempranillo also?
Yes. So we use the five classic port grapes. So Tinta Roriz, also known as Tempranillo, and Torreja Nacional, Tinta Cal, Torreja Franca, and Tinta Barroca, and we do produce it in the traditional way. So we start fermentation, and then partway through fermentation, we fortify the wine, and so interrupt the fermentation there, and that's how we get the you have a little bit of residual sugar, and you still have the higher alcohol, and so then it gets expensive aging. So that's how we like to make it. So,
but your residuals.
I'm personally a big port fan, and so this was something when we started that I really pushed for, I love a good port. So if you haven't tried a good Texas port yet, so come on and try it. Again, the climate in Texas is not too dissimilar from Portugal. It's a warmer climate, and so these grapes do fabulously well in Texas.
Well, I notice your residual sugar on the port is rather low for a port.
Yes. You know, you can make the different styles, and so it has. You know, it's there's some orris there, but it's not sort of super, super sweet. It's sort of the what I like to call balanced sweetness in there.
Yeah. Oh, very good. And then I noticed here, and I have to bring up Moscato. Giallo? What is that grape?
Moscato Giallo, it's a rather obscure grape, we get it from the High Plains. Our good friends, the Bingham family, own and operate Bingham Vineyards. They grow it for us. As you know, Muscat or Moscato is the whole family of different grapes, right? And there are many different Muscat grapes.
Right.
So this is a this is a fairly obscure Muscat grape, and we love it. We love it. It's a wonderful dessert wine, and it has some residual sugar, and it's just a lot of citrus, balance, sweetness. Great dessert wine.
Is the classic Moscato style that people are so used to, or does it vary from that?
It's you get some Muscats, and they're almost. I mean, they're sometimes very, very sweet, almost sort of syrupy, kind of
right,
sort of overwhelmingly sweet. And this one is more. I like the concept of balanced sweetness. So sometimes if it's too sweet, it just it sort of overwhelms everything else. But this here is a nice, you get nice balance between the sweetness and acidity and the flavors. We do them a little bit less sweet than some other people do there in Moscow.
Yeah, that's just, because you've established the fact that you're not a sweet wine winery. What I was asking about that.
Absolutely. And so, that's absolutely true. And so the two exceptions there is we do a Muscat, and then we do have the port program. And so those two wines are sweet for us, and the rest is all very dry.
All right, yeah. At your wine club, you've been doing that ever since you've been open, and does it do well for you?
It does really well for us, and we do have many members that they've been with us from the start, and they've been tremendous supporters, and they've believed in us and encouraged us. And so, over the years, many wine club members have become friends, and we do events out of the estate, and we invite them out, and it's so nice to meet with them, and they keep us on our toes, and so they tell us what they like and what they don't like, and So it's a great thing to
It's like your own own group of tasters out there that keep you honest.
Absolutely. And we like to do barrel tastings with them and show them, okay, this is coming up, and what do you think about this blend versus this blend here, and get their input. And it's great. It's really great.
Yeah, it sounds like it's a good thing. You can ship to, or you do ship to where? Almost everywhere? Are you limited, or what do you do?
We ship to many states in the U.S., right? Some states, obviously, as you know, are off-limits.
Right.
Utah and Pennsylvania and so on. But we do ship to a lot of the other states, California, Florida, and a lot of them we ship to. It's on our website. It gives a list of the states that we ship to. And so we're always happy to ship. We try to avoid ship during July and August. It gets too hot in Texas, and we're conscious that we don't want to spoil the wine in transit. And so,
cook it.
exactly. Other than that, yeah, we're very happy to ship.
You are open throughout the year.
Yes, we're open every day. We're closed Thanksgiving Day and Christmas Day and New Year's Day. But other than that, we're open every day. And it's a beautiful place to visit. We're up on a hillside, breathtaking views of Texas Hill Country. We have a nice big patio, big comfy chairs, buy a glass of wine, sit down, kick back, relax, just have a glass of wine, take in the vista, and just enjoy life. That's what life is all about. Yeah.
You sound like the government, the federal government, the state government. Do you love them, hate them, want to hug them, want to kill them? What's your opinion of all that? With the wine industry, I don't care about with the wine industry.
Right. Yeah, we don't. Obviously, the framework of rules and regulations is there, and we comply with it, and it's working well. It's not. We wish there were more opportunities to ship to some of the states where we're not able to really ship because. The federal. It's not federal regulations that are holding us back. It's not a big issue on our radar. But it's not a big problem for us in any way. And so whenever we come in contact with our regulators, they are, we don't have any issues. It's not a big deal for us.
Well, that's good. That's, some people do, but I guess, if you follow the rules and regulations, then, everything's all right. I do want to mention that, and we didn't say it, but the Texas Hill Country and the Texas High Plains are both AVAs. They're actually designated American Viticulture Areas. So for the people out there who are interested and want to know, those are actually American Viticulture Areas. Before we go any further, and I'm not done with you yet, but I just want to say goodbye to the Armed Forces Radio Network. They are on a time limit on their what they listen to. So Armed Forces Radio Network, thanks for tuning in. And you can follow the rest of this program on archives and all the information about the Ferdinandalis sellers will be on our All About Wine website, so you can get in touch with them. Thanks again, AFRN. So, Fred, the wine trails, are you on any wine trails? Or are you on any stuff like that or passport things there?
Absolutely. The largest trail is the Hill Country Wine Trail, and we're on it. We're a proud member of it. And there's also a smaller trail which covers just the immediate area where we're in, the Fredericksburg Wine Road, 290 is the highway, right there in Fredericksburg, through the Hill Country, and so we're one of the founding members of that trail as well. And it's great. It's a wonderful way for people to come out and visit, and experience the Hill Country and a couple of different wineries, and it's a very nice arrangement. And there's a map, and you can see, okay, this weekend I want to visit these wineries, and maybe hit up a winery that I haven't tried before, and give that a try.
You said you opened in 2006. You actually opened your doors. You've been growing grapes, but you opened in 2006. And you just mentioned you're a founder of the Wine Trail. That seems to me like most of the wineries have been there a very short period of time. Then it's just exploded.
The Hill Country Wine Trail is older, and we joined when we first opened our doors in 2008, I think it was. And the 290 Wine Trail was started right around that same time, and we were one of the founding members. But, no, you bring up a good point. The growth in the Hill Country has been tremendous. When we opened our doors, there were perhaps a dozen or so wineries out there, and now I think it doubled in the last few years. every 6 months, there is a new winery opening their doors. And
wow.
The Hill Country is really becoming the epicenter of the wine industry in Texas. And so if you're coming out to visit wineries, there are lots and lots of different options, a lot of wineries to try, new wineries to experience, and different kinds of wines. And every winery they have their own little take on things. And so what I always say is that for every consumer, there's a perfect winery out there to visit. So,
yeah, for each one. You mentioned so many wineries opening. Is there the grapes there for all these wineries? Is there a planting enough for everybody to be opening and getting wine and are getting grapes and are sourcing grapes? Or are everyone trying to stay with Texas grapes? Are they bringing them in from outside of state? These are things that just occurred to me, and I figured I'll ask you about it. No,
but you bring up a good point, and it is a challenge, and we would like to see more grapes planted in Texas, and especially with so many new wineries coming online, supply is getting tighter. There's no question, and we're big promoters of using Texas grapes and Hill Country grapes, High Plains grapes, and so that's really big for us and what we do, and. I know some other wineries, they're more focused on getting grapes from out of state and doing that. And that's fine too, and they make great wine from that. But our big focus is Texas grapes, estate grown grapes and grapes from vineyards that we've worked with for a long time. And that's our focus.
Well, if you're going to open a winery in, say, the Hill Country or High Plains, I would think that you would want to source from your local AVA instead of bringing them out.
Absolutely, and that's always our goal. Hill Country grapes is that's our focus, together with the High Plains grapes, and so we would love to see more grapes planted. We're sometimes approached and. People may want to plant a vineyard, and we try to be as helpful as we can and encouraging. So we believe it's vital for the future of our industry to have a good source of grapes available to us.
It almost a necessity, I would say, to continue bringing in good grapes. Mike, do you have any questions for Fred?
I think he was going to add something else to that.
I'm sorry.
I think just for the future, in the long run, for the Texas wine industry to be taken seriously, it needs to be built on Texas grapes as opposed to bringing in grapes from out of state. I do think that's a key point. And when we're out, when we're talking to the sommeliers and the wine buyers, they want to see they already have so many wines from California or here and there, but they want to see a good Texas wine. Named from Texas grapes. So that's kind of our tagline. Right? We are marketing ourselves. The best Texas wines are made from the best Texas grapes.
Very good point there, too, because Texas is doing so well on a lot of their grapes now, and They've got such diversified climates that they can produce just about any type that you can find around the world to some extent. So
I think the emphasis is almost going to be on the hot weather varietals, because that's what thrives in Texas. But there is a variety that you can of varietals that you can grow in Texas. There's no question. Yeah.
Well, like you're the Tempranillo. You said you educate people. It's a big seller. The Albarino,
yeah,
that's another one that you're
mm-hmm.
educating and you're bringing in. So the possibilities are almost limitless as far as it goes. I mean, it's like there's lots of areas to plant grapes in Texas. So
absolutely. Yeah. It's as I said, when we started doing a Tempranillo, there were like a handful of wineries doing it. Now I think more than 50 wineries in Texas are growing and making Tempranillo wine. So it's really got traction out there in the marketplace.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Mike, do you have any questions for Fred here?
Yes, I had to recall again. I got disconnected. Yeah. Well, I don't know. I was on the website and I saw that January 22nd news item. Entered to win the Wine Enthusiast Getaway. So I've been trying to do all that to get as many entries in. There's like, if you do this, you get 5 entries. If you do this, you get 1. So I've been going down the line, going nuts with this, because that sounds like a really good deal. And I know it's through Wine Enthusiast, and you all are involved to some extent with this. I'm sure you're participating in it at some point. But while I was doing that, I might have missed this, but did you cover what kind of soil you have there that you're growing?
No, I didn't ask. Good question.
It's a good question. So in the estate vineyard, the soil it's fairly rocky. It's not. It's not very, not a whole lot of clay in there. So it's a fairly sandy soil that we do have, and it's very nice for growing the kinds of grapes that we do, it's a great little piece of land that we have up in the hill country here, and we're real proud of what we can do.
Do you have a good amount of the topsoil? Because we talked to Maydell, I think it was, and they said they have like 1.5 inches of topsoil, and then the rest is rock and iron and stuff, and it's that's about as far as they can go. Do you have that same problem, or do you have more of a topsoil?
There's very little topsoil, and then there's a lot of limestone in there, and so but it's working out very nicely for the kinds of grapes that we're growing.
Great. Sounds good. That's all I was. I'm just
curious.
Hope I get enough entries in here, because that's a good deal.
Yeah. In Wine Enthusiast was great. It came out, I believe, a week ago, and it's a lot of attention is coming from it. And I think they named 10 wine destinations in the world. Hill Country is one of them, and I think they feature 3 or 4 wineries, and we're fortunate to be mentioned amongst those. So we're obviously very happy.
Yeah, I dug out my copy of the Wine Enthusiast, and sure enough, you guys are there. And when I first thumbed through it, I was surprised. I said, "Wow, Texas Hill Country is being mentioned in this list." That shocked me, to be honest. I mean, I did not expect you to be mentioned in there, and that's a great coup for you guys to get on that list.
But Ron, I was up. I'll tell you a funny story. I was up in Oregon a few weeks ago, and tasted some amazing Pinots, by the way. But it was a Saturday. I would go into a tasting room of one of the top estates, and there would be 4 people in the tasting room at 2 p.m., right, on a Saturday. And I knew that at the same time in our tasting room, down in the Hill Country, there would be 40, 50, 60 people in the tasting room. And so I think in terms of wine tourism, we're doing really well in Texas. Or we have a lot of traction right now, and so. But it's because you know, wine quality has improved tremendously, and the Hill Country is just beautiful, beautiful spot to visit.
Yeah, it's exploding. I mean, you whenever you talk about different people in different places, you mentioned Texas, and the Hill Country is what's being brought up almost every time. So, it's good. Any other things you want to bring up and talk about, Fred? I mean, it's been a great time talking with you. But anything that you'd like to mention that we haven't?
No, as I mentioned earlier, it's a great time to be part of the Texas wine industry. The sommelier community has really been tremendously supportive of us and what we do, and so the industry is many wineries popping up, and so yes, they're potential competitors, but they're also our friends in the industry. The industry is very collaborative. We help each other. My crusher breaks, I can borrow somebody else's crusher. We all help each other and stick together, and it's just so much fun to be part of the Texas wine industry. It's amazing.
Yeah, and it's that way all over the country, I think. I mean, this is what's so great about the wine industry, because we are all in this together and we understand that. And I call you up, it's just like there's a thing there because we're both in the industry, and it just makes it easier to talk and all that. So I think I love the industry myself. Everyone I've talked to is just, so passionate and everything. It's fantastic. And it's good to hear that the Hill Country of Texas is just booming like it is. That's another big plus for this country as a whole. So that's great. Give us the contact information, your email address, your Facebook page, your Twitter account, your website, everything, in case anybody wants to get in touch with you, anybody wants to contact you, phone numbers, anything, so people can contact Pedernales Cellars. Trying to pronounce that like LBJ.
Pedernales.
Pedernales. There you go.
There you go.
Emphasis. Pedernales.
So,
there you go.
Right. Exactly. And so our website is pedernalescellars.com. So it's PEDERNALES and then Cellars, CELLARS.com. So it's unfortunately quite long address, but PerdinelloCellars.com. And we're also on Facebook, Perdinello Cellars. Our Twitter handle, Perdinello Cellars didn't fit, so it's Perdinello's Wine, at Perdinello's Wine is our Twitter handle. And, phone number to the visitor center. Area code is 830-644-2037. So 830-644-2037. But again, all the information is on the website. And that's Pernella Cellars.
Stonewall, Texas. Where is that? What's the closest big city?
We're about an hour west of Austin and about an hour north of San Antonio.
Oh, okay.
We're about equidistant. Yeah. Yeah.
You're not far from Fredericksburg.
Nope, we're about 15 minutes from Fredericksburg.
Fredericksburg.
It's very small. You drive through it, you blink, you miss it, right? So a few hundred people, but it's becoming the in the industry. It's well known as the epicenter of the industry. But many of the tourists, they think about the area, the Fredericksburg area. So we always refer to, well, we're outside Fredericksburg.
Stonewall.
Beautiful area of Texas.
Very nice. Thank you very much for taking your time to join us this evening. And what's evening here is it is there now. Thank you very much for taking your time to join us. It has been a lot of fun, very informative. If I'm ever in that area, and I hope to be, I will definitely stop by and try some of the wines and introduce myself, and love to meet you in person and shake your hand.
Likewise. Thank you for having me, Rob.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Yep,
thank
good.
You. Good night now.
Stay warm. Thank you. Okay. Well, you know what? Win that contest, and there you go.
Now, you're supposed to be making notes and tweeting.
Yeah, there's quite a few requirements, but I was going down the line thinking, yeah, I can do that. No, nice. I can't do that. But yeah, they have a lot of people applying for that. But wow, what a deal! That's on the website. If you go to their website, as you said, and look on the right hand side, click on the Read More and read that top news item. It's all the details and then a link, and that's what I followed, and I got hooked. So you're talking, I'm taking notes in one window and applying on the other window. I'm like, I am going to win this thing. No.
What is, guide me through it here. I'm on the website. Where is it now?
Look on the right-hand side, the menu, like news items. It has January 22nd, I think, is about the news item.
Yeah.
And then there's details on it, and then there's a link in that news item that says to go, it takes you to another website, and then there's a few things you have to do, but there's some reasonable things, you know, sign up for a newsletter, download the Texas Visitors something, and that never downloaded, so okay, but yeah, there's a couple of things they get you on it, but it's like it's, you know, you really want to win, there's a good way to do it. So
when they trip to Texas Hill Country, here it is. All right.
Yeah. Bed and breakfast. Yeah. There's meals and wine tours. At least 12 wineries to go to.
Guaranteed
and,
12 wineries.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah. Round trip flights also to Texas. Mm-hmm. 8-night accommodations at B&Bs. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm going to have to be out there, and I'm going to have to start registering now.
That's right. Yeah. We should have Wine Enthusiast Magazine on here or something one of these days.
yeah, really.
Well,
really?
People win first. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, what exactly happened to my application? And,
yeah.
Something like that.
Oh, like a snapshot of your itinerary? Wow, that looks great.
Mm-hmm.
Well, looks like I'm going to have to spend some time. Yeah. Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, you get a way to go there.
This
weekend, 25th. Yeah,
yep,
this Saturday. You got a busy weekend this weekend. Saturday and Sunday you have things going on. I just saw the wine class dates. So let me take some time out here real quick. And that's the wrong one. And we'll be back in a minute and 15. Right after
coming
this.
Up this Saturday at Florida Estates Winery, it's Wine Fest, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Enjoy live music, have a little fun, and shop our vendors providing unique handmade items and some brand names you have known for years. Participate in an informative wine tasting with wine expert and show host, Ron. Sample some of Florida Estates Winery's world-class wines. Shopping is always fun, and Wine Fest is a great way to pick up unique gift items. Come out to Florida Estates Winery and enjoy the weekend with us. Listen to live music and shop under the giant oak trees while enjoying a glass of your favorite wine. This is a family event, and pets are welcome at Florida Estates Winery. See you there. Florida Estates Winery is located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Call 813-996-2113 or email corp@flune.com. That's corp@flewn.com for more information. Florida Estates Winery is open daily, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m.
Yep. There you go. That's right. Come out and enjoy the weekend at Florida Estates Winery. That's this weekend, the 25th, 11 a.m. until 4 p.m. You have live entertainment by Patrick Boy. You will definitely enjoy his sounds out there underneath the giant oak trees. The weather is going to be incredible, and I know it's going to be 30 tomorrow morning or in the 30s tomorrow morning, but then we start kind of warming up for a few days, and Saturday is going to be just fantastic, lots of sun and just a great temperatures and everything. So come on out. It's going to be a great time. Relax, have some wine, just enjoy the day, have some fun, and shop the vendors. So there's going to be plenty of shopping to be had there. The usual suspects will be on hand. So I don't know how you word that, but yeah, the good vendors are going to be out there. It's a lot of fun, and you definitely want to come out. So we'll see you there. Sunday, the 26th, from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m., you know, I don't have a spot for that. I should make one for that one, too. The wine class. It's a great 3 hours, and it's presented by Ron himself. That's right, winemaker, vineyardist, cellar master, tasting expert. Ron, he shares his knowledge and experience on wine. It's a great presentation. You learn everything you wanted to know about wine is covered, including a history of wines, wine grape varietals, wine grape diseases, the glass styles and uses, cork history, evolution and uses, oak aging, wine tasting and rating wines, and there's also a sampling of wines and a discussion of them. So it's located at the Florida State's Winery Tasting Room. You do need to RSVP. Please call in advance. Let them know at 813-996-2113 and talk to them about it. It's a great time. It's Sunday, so Saturday and Sunday you have things going on. Very busy over there. That's amazing. Do you ever get time off? But, you know, between your, you know, being famous on the radio program here, and it's just amazing how you have time. You might not be able to go to Texas if you win that contest.
Oh, we'll work it out. We will work it out. Yeah, somehow. Okay. Somehow, some way.
Right.
We will work it out.
You will find time to.
I will find time to go to Texas.
I will. Yeah, I know what will happen. No, I need Mike to host the show this Thursday.
Yeah, Mike, you need to host. What? No,
that's right.
I'll just play a best of.
That's right. All right, very cool. Do you have any other last minute things you need to bring up or?
No, we're all start
next week.
Trying to find a winery in the Hill Country.
Yeah,
see if we can get somebody from there. We've been hearing a lot of not Hill Country, the High Plains. So
the High Plains,
Well,
we had somebody last. When was McPherson was from Lubbock, right? Yeah. Well, McPherson Sellers, I think, was Lubbock. I don't remember hearing High Plains though, but.
He never mentioned High Plains, so.
Yeah,
I don't know.
They're in the middle of downtown Lubbock, so they're up there.
That would be the High Plains. I don't know.
Yeah. So, we get some people out there and see what's going on. But or maybe if there's any other regions out there that are, you know, lesser known, maybe areas. I don't know. Texas is booming, though, it sounds like. Getting some good honors there. So, very cool. So we'll see January 30th. January 30th will be the next
January
show.
30th.
7 p.m. Eastern time. 7 p.m. Eastern time. Wait, 7.
Yeah.
And right here on Blog Talk Radio, I'm trying to go to the other page where the website was because I added all these links to the website. So if you want links to, like, tonight's guest and all the previous guests, I have them on the website at allaboutwinebtr.com, plus show information and everything. So you can go there if you missed the links or anything like that. Their website links are on the page under guest links. So that's a quick way to get there. And I added the rest of them in there, so they should be ready to go.
Fantastic.
So we'll see you all next. Yeah, we'll see you all next Thursday, the 30th, at 7 p.m. Thank you for tuning in. Have a great week. And, you know, if you're in the panhandle of Florida, I think they're expecting snow tonight. Thank you. Keep it up there.
Ooh.
And that's what I heard.
Really?
Yeah, they're expecting some snow somewhere up in the panhandle. It's probably that one little corner. Yeah, it's probably like a block
up there,
or something.
Just, that one little area where the elevation jumps up to real high and
200 feet is it?
What is 200?
Yeah. Yep, that's the tree line here. So, we'll see y'all next time and have a great one. Thanks again for tuning in and
thank you.
Yep, we're still live. Thanks, and have a good one. Bye.
See y'all next time.
This is where I play this.
You hit that button. Yeah.
This concludes tonight's broadcast of All About Wine with your host, Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida State's Winery. Florida State's Winery is located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida, 4 miles west of Interstate 75 or east of US 19 and US 41. For more information on Florida State's Winery, visit the website at floridaestateswines.com
or call area code 813-996-2113. The email address is corp@flune.com. That's C-O-R-P at F-L-E-W-N.com. For more information on All About Wine and future shows, please like us on Facebook at facebook.com/allaboutwineBTR or visit our website at allaboutwinebtr.com. Archived shows are available as a free download on iTunes and on our show page at blogtalkradio.com/allaboutwine. Follow the Armed Forces Radio Network on Twitter at the AFRN and on Facebook at facebook.com/Armed Forces Radio. Thank you for listening to this show. We'll see you next time on All About Wine.